Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
From the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
6:07 this Tuesday morning. Thanks for starting your day with us here. Larry O'Connor with Julie Gunlock alongside. And boy, oh boy, are we loaded up here at 6:35. Stacey Langton, that Fairfax County mom who brought attention to the porn in the public school library there. Loudoun has now removed those same books, but Fairfax, they think they're just fine for 12-year-olds. 7:35, Greg Pemberton is the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Will join us about the rising D.C. homicide rate. 8:05, we'll talk to Jim Garrity at National Review about the Youngkin era and how the Democrats in Northern Virginia are not real pleased. And at 8:35, Gordon Chang is going to join us, talk about the Beijing Olympics, about the NBA, lots of things affecting us today with regard to China. Julie, I know we talked a lot in the first hour about Northern Virginia, about the school systems, about our friend Emily Dominich, I think, took to Twitter yesterday. She's a Northern Virginian conservative. Ben's sister, right? Megan's sister-in-law. Emily tweeted out, gee, maybe if things get really bad in Virginia, all these Democrats will move to D.C. Wouldn't that be? Is that possible? Does that ever happen, that they go the other direction? Oh, we can't stand it here. We're going to go back to a Democrat utopia like the District of Columbia where everything's so wonderful. Oh, let's bring Julie up there. Oh,
well, somehow I must
stop
have coughed.
Muting yourself. Sorry. Julie. Nobody Sorry. Puts Julie in a corner.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, that we've seen this in Maine, right? When New Yorkers decide they don't like New York anymore, they move up. In Boston as well, they move up to Maine, ruin the state, although it's still pretty great. We've seen it in Texas when Californians get tired of, they move to Austin, then they ruin Austin, you know? So we've seen this sort of happen where liberals...
Although, I mean, we've seen in Florida, the trends actually, people are becoming more Republican when they move to Florida.
Yes,
even if they're... Yeah. So, I mean, maybe this is the thing. It's like, I love it when they stigmatize Ron DeSantis. Great, stay away, leave, move, yes, don't go there,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's like when you go to Florida, you will instantly die, right? Like, fine, gosh, keep that up, then don't go.
All these people who were taking to Twitter saying, this is not my Virginia. It's like, dude, how long have you lived in Virginia? Because, I mean, this is the Virginia I remember.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, I do. I love what Emily tweeted. But I do think that there are some quiet conservatives in these communities that suddenly feel like,
yeah,
maybe it's okay to speak up. I think this has brought I think Youngkin has, and what happened in Loudoun, I think some of these surrounding communities like Alexander and Arlington and Fairfax are now like, you know what?
Yes.
I'm tired of this. I'm going to speak up. And I think the doubling down on mass, we're going to see some parents getting a little bit more vocal.
I hope you're right. I think you're right. I think the majority of them, they won't speak up, but they'll quietly, you know, they'll tut tut and they'll say, oh, they'll roll their eyes, but secretly in the back of their head, it's like, thank God somebody's speaking up. Thank God they're doing that, you know.
Right, right.
Meanwhile, you know, if you don't change your politics, if you don't actually change who your school board is and your city council and your county supervisors and your state government is, you end up looking like California. And we have these images now coming out of the county of Los Angeles showing a Union Pacific freight yard that is just astounding. This is, I mean, anyone who's read Atlas Shrugged or even seen the not too bad film versions of Atlas Shrugged, they're not too bad, actually. We'll look at these things in the news and recognize how we really are living Ayn Rand's nightmare here as freight train after freight train after freight train have been robbed and they're boarded, and boxes, cargo boxes, shipping boxes, mostly from Amazon, are just removed from these trains. They're ripped open. Stuff is stolen. The yard is absolutely littered with cardboard boxes of criminals, homeless people, or people just recognize that even if they get arrested, nothing's going to happen to them in California or certainly in the county of Los Angeles. And they're decimating the Union Pacific freight lines as they are, you know, regrouping in the yards there, getting their shipping containers and ready to ship things to the rest of the country. Union Pacific has actually finally spoken out about this. The video hit over the weekend. And we'll tell you what they had to say. But you saw this, I'm sure. This yeah. really is like a dystopian, post-apocalyptic scene from a film.
This is yet another sign that that we're breaking down. That's a societal breakdown. And it's very concerning. It's concerning from a safety standpoint for Union Pacific employees. It's concerning from an economic standpoint. The losses that these businesses are suffering because of stolen goods, these items being stolen, this reverberates through the economy as
yes.
well. So this
that's
is
the
a
thing,
very,
by the way. This is yeah. all part of inflation too. Yep. Why do things cost so much more money? Because businesses and shipping companies and insurance companies that insure this stuff that gets shipped, they all have to recover their losses,
yes.
and they recover their losses by charging more.
That's
charging
right.
more for products and charging more for services. When you don't enforce the law against theft, we all end up paying, literally, in every possible way, not just the degradation of our culture and society. L.A. District Attorney George Gascon received a letter from Union Pacific. George Gascon, by the way, just so you know, and I have roots in Los Angeles, so I follow this stuff carefully.
Sure.
He's another one of those George Soros-appointed district attorneys, just like we've got in Northern Virginia and Loudoun and Fairfax County, just like we've got in other major cities across the country. George Gascon was placed there by George Soros to ignore the law. He's implemented zero bail. He's implemented, you know, gotten away with minimum sentencing guidelines. He picks and chooses what laws to enforce.
Okay, let's also just talk about where are the environmentalists? The mess that is left behind by these people. I mean, it is trash.
It's a pigsty.
Absolutely horrible mess that's left behind because of these.
We'll put the video out on WMALDC so you can see just the absolute devastation. According to Adrian Guerrero, Director of Public Affairs for Union Pacific, who, by the way, are now saying they're considering relocating and moving out of Los Angeles because of this.
God, unbelievable.
Since December 2020, Union Pacific experienced over 160% increase in criminal rail theft. Over the last 3 months, 90 containers have been compromised per day. 90 shipping containers per day. October 2020 to October 2021, they had a 356% increase in this kind of behavior. And he basically indicts the Los Angeles County District Attorney for ignoring the law. He says specifically here, criminals are caught, arrested, turned over to local authorities for booking, arraigning before the local courts. Charges are reduced to a misdemeanor or a petty offense. Criminal is released after paying a nominal fee, and these individuals are generally caught and released back onto the streets in less than 24 hours. Even with all the arrests made, no cash bail policy, an extended time frame for suspects who appear in court is causing re-victimization to Union Pacific by these same criminals. It's a revolving door at the jailhouse right now, and they're coming right back out to break the law again. And this was all done under the guise of social justice racial equity.
Yep.
That's what we're seeing. And here, look at Los Angeles.
Which an awful lot of corporations, I don't want to loop Union Pacific into this, but a lot of corporations have supported BLM and these social justice organizations and, you know, getting and funds that get these people right back on the street as soon as they're arrested and fund these awful prosecutors campaigns. So in terms of sectors, the business sector in the United States has become so woke to their own detriment, to the point that their own sector is suffering.
That's right. And this is all, by the way, part of Pete Buttigieg's great success of the supply chain. You know, this is all tied to the supply chain. Those shipping containers off the coast of Los Angeles at San Pedro and Long Beach, they come in, they drop off their containers. A ton of those containers get onto these freight cars at Union Pacific, and then they train them, you know, they send them around the country on rail. And in some cases, they had a train derailment on January 15th, Julie, because the rail had been so obliterated by all this trash and garbage and empty boxes that have been just strewn about. This is, and by the way, there is not one Republican in the state of California, in the county of Los Angeles, or in the city of Los Angeles that has had any say about anything for decades.
Yep.
This is what Democrat leadership brings you. Make Americans hobos again is just not as appealing a campaign slogan, I don't think. But that seems to be where the Democrats are taking us. You know, honestly, when was the last time we were talking about freight car rail theft and stuff? It's truly, it's something out of a 1930s film. Anyway, today we've got mostly sunny skies with a high near 40 degrees. Winds dying down, but it might get as high as 32 degrees today. I love it when the National Weather Service does this. It might get as high as 32 degrees. 32 miles per hour, excuse me. 32 miles per hour. Not 31 miles per hour. Not 33 miles per hour. 32. Lock it in. Put all your money on 32 miles per hour with the winds gusting today. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 29 degrees. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Going to get warmer, high near 49. And then here's what you're waiting for. Wednesday night, we got rain starting around 1 a.m. That might turn into snow as you start your commute in Thursday morning. Either way, it'll be freezing rain mixed with snow. It's going to be lovely. Right now, it's lovely. It's 35 degrees. It's 617.
Need a new roof? Honor, respect, and trust your home with Valor. Visit valorhome.com.
Most online dating profiles are works of fiction. At It's Just Lunch, we are all about fun, real-life dates set up by real dating experts. Save the fiction for your nightstand and call It's Just Lunch today. Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699.
Moving on, you know, the FBI has not had a great week here, Julie Gunlock. First of all, we know we've learned much more now about this terror suspect down at the synagogue in Texas. Turns out, yes, absolutely, he was on some list somewhere because he's been on the record in the UK saying that he wished he had died in 9/11. And by the way, he got his wish now 20 years late. Meet your maker. Enjoy the raisins up there. It's 72 raisins, right, I think is what they get.
Yeah.
And raisins. And he was also, he was part of a group that is, it's so extreme, it's banned in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And this guy made his way to America. He got through immigration and customs on January 2nd. All the things that we go through to get in and out of this country.
Yeah, but total mystery about why.
He gets in no problem, and he's in the country for 2 weeks, and then suddenly he's taking hostages at a synagogue. And, of course, the FBI that night said, yeah, we're not sure what the motive is. Has nothing to do with Jewish people, though. No, has nothing to do with anti-Semitism or anything
like mystery.
That.
Total mystery.
So that's how the FBI started their week with that. And then there's this. Yesterday on Martin Luther King Day, the FBI Twitter account tweeted out, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? This is Martin Luther King Day. And every day, the FBI remains dedicated to service and committed to protecting our communities. You know, maybe the FBI should sit this one out.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Last I checked, the FBI and Martin Luther King, I don't think it was a real harmonious situation there. Didn't the FBI spy on him, violate his rights, tried to set him up?
Yeah, Sean Davis actually mentioned that on Twitter yesterday. I was rolling on the ground because he's like, didn't you spy on him? Didn't you have secret files on him?
Yeah.
Didn't you essentially try to destroy him? Maybe sit down.
Maybe the FBI shouldn't be grandstanding about how much they love MLK. I do like this one guy, Zach Burdick, tweeted. He retweeted and said, thank you, FBI. I'm Googling FBI Martin Luther King to learn more. Yeah, you'll be shocked what you learn about FBI and Martin Luther King.
Oh, God.
It, by the way, it also sort of draws into focus all the people who just knee-jerk defend the FBI right now, the people in the institutional left and part of the sort of the Democrat media complex that runs the government and thereby runs Washington, D.C., this knee-jerk defense of everything FBI and everything Justice Department. This is the same entity. I would think that they would have been rather critical of the FBI for their activities against Martin Luther King.
Well, the world is completely turned upside down between the FBI being praised by the left and also, like, you know.
And the CIA, too.
Yeah, and them now falling in love with Dick Cheney. I just, right. I can't quite wrap my head around. If you had taken 20-year-old Julie and said, you know what, and, you know, what? Oh, I'm sorry, in 5 years, just
right. Way back when you were 20.
In 5 years, this is all going to change. No, I would have been shocked, really.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. Yeah, all the people. When we were uncovering layer by layer, painstakingly, the Russia conspiracy theory that was created by Hillary Clinton and picked up by the FBI and used to railroad President Donald Trump.
Yep.
That was a complete and total hoax. As we were unlayering all of that, and it was like, well, the FBI would never do that. The FBI would never.
Right.
Are you kidding? The DOJ would never. It's like, dude, have you not seen? Do you not know the? Have you not seen what the FBI has done? Do you think that suddenly when Obama became president, suddenly the FBI completely shed everything that they had done leading up to there? I'm sorry. I love many FBI agents and I love the idea of the FBI. But, dude, they don't have the best history.
Yeah.
When it comes
and
to this sort of
thing. And,
you
know, it is uncomfortable, I think, for people on the right to be in the situation where the FBI is just so corrupt at this point. Because we do tend to really support law enforcement. They are a part of law enforcement. But what is so great to see from conservatives is we need to get to the bottom of this, reform this agency. It's extremely powerful.
Right. That's the key. We do support law enforcement. We were also and have always been suspicious of an all-encompassing big government. And the FBI represents that big government with a gun. It's 622.
Information from Network Capital Funding on WMAL.
Julie Gunlock, I love the D.C. restaurant scene. There's so many great restaurants to choose from. That's why I love a story like this, when I can learn exactly which restaurants I don't have to go to. And here's one. It's Busboys and Poets. They're owned by a tragically hip leftist social Bernie Sanders type. Anyway, the good folks with the March for Life, a pro-life group, they're all coming into town. This Friday is the March for Life. And they reserve Busboys and Poets, you know, they're in the U Street corridor, for a nice breakfast for all the marchers. Busboy and Poets have now rejected their reservation. They said that their place is a safe space. They don't want pro-life marchers to be there.
Yeah, you know what? Busboys and Poets, more importantly, I mean, aside from this, it's not that great food-wise, okay?
Yeah.
So let me say, just a little review there. But they are insufferable.
They are. And I do like that they call themselves a safe space. Apparently not for pregnant women, though. It's 6:30 on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. The one radio station for you to depend on. All day, every day. 105.9 FM, WMAL. A Cumulus Media station. News now. From the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
6:37 on WMAL. Thanks for starting your day with us here at O'Connor and Company. I say that on behalf of myself, Larry O'Connor, and Julie Gunlock, my wingman this morning, wing person, wing entity, wing.
You're fine. You're okay. You can call me a wingman.
This is,
I know it's a scary time to these days.
Territory to wade through. I apologize. Forgot you're a they them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
7:35, we'll speak with Greg Pemberton, chairman of the D.C. Police Union, about the homicide raid in D.C. At 8:05, Jim Garrity of National Review on Glenn Youngkin triggering all the progs in Northern Virginia. At 8:35, Gordon Chang, latest on the Beijing Olympics and an NBA team throwing down with the commies in Beijing. All that's coming up. But right now, our friend Stacy Langton, a concerned parent in Fairfax County who saw a book on the shelves of the local library there, a public government-run school library there, called Gender Queen, A Memoir, that and Lawn Boy in particular, looked at the books and said, well, this is, by any definition, pornography, and raised that with the Fairfax County School Board. They decided to keep the book. But in neighboring Loudoun County, Superintendent Scott Ziegler said, yeah, this is not appropriate for our schools. So this is very interesting, Stacy Langton. Thanks for joining us. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, are the community standards that much different about 15 miles up the road in Loudoun as compared to Fairfax?
Yeah, it is sort of stunning that somehow a superintendent in Northern Virginia can find his way to do the right thing like Ziegler did. And I think the timing on it was a little curious as well, because the Washington Post wrote the story very late on Friday night, just before the inauguration at noon on Saturday. So I wonder what's going on.
Yeah, I think we all see what's going on. And I guess the difference between Loudoun and Fairfax is the votes are a little tighter there than in Fairfax. Is that the margin,
probably true.
Margin of error.
Yeah. Probably true. And you know, I don't know why it is that my school board here in Fairfax County cannot seem to find their way to do the right thing, because this isn't at all a questionable or borderline case. You know, the pornography that's in this book, as is written in Ziegler's statement, is pervasive. It's throughout the book, and it's illustrated, which makes it especially dangerous to kids because it is a visual thing, and it's in the comic book section, and they could stumble across it. And, you know, who wants their kids being exposed to outright pornography in their school library? And that's the thing I'm fighting against. So I have the opportunity still to appeal Dr. Brabrand's decision, which came out on Monday, by the way. But it doesn't seem to have been by committee. It seems, by the way the letter is written, that he did this himself. It was his personal decision. So I will definitely be exercising that final appeal, and I will be signing up to speak at the next school board meeting on the 27th and hope I get selected, because I'm not done slugging it out with these commies in Fairfax County.
Good to know.
Stacey, you're so great and persistent on this, and thank God you are. I have to say, sometimes when this comes up, I go, I just can't believe we're talking about pornographic books in schools. It is just
right.
It really does take my breath away that we are there. How are parents reacting to this? First of all, there must be relief that the book is being removed in some schools. But is there sort of anger? Have you been contacted by any other parents on how they can get on board with this and maybe stand with you at these school board meetings?
Yes, I get contacted a lot, and the support for what I'm doing is overwhelming, and it's very strong and very positive. I certainly don't get a lot of negative comments at all, but I think we cannot stop the fight, right? I think this showed that any parent can do what I did, and a lot of parents now are bringing this to the attention of their school boards nationwide, because it is in every school district. This isn't something that was an isolated incident. And we do have to keep the pressure on. We do have to fight this leftist agenda, because that's what it is. If you had any doubts as to whether or not CRT is being taught in the classroom and things like that, all you have to do is take a look at these books in the library, because it's all part of the same agenda. It came in at about the same time. And we have to keep fighting.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, Stacey, I you said something there, and I just wanted to capture that moment. You know, I find it so interesting. You are not some conservative. You know, you've talked about your own experience. You know, growing up, your mother was a lesbian, and you didn't identify necessarily as sort of this, you know, a conservative. You know, I think it's so interesting.
I'm pretty sure I've been a conservative all my life. I don't think you need to be a conservative to not want children
right.
exposed to pornography.
Right, right.
I could be wrong.
Right, right. But I think that's part of why Stacey is such a powerful spokeswoman on this. You know, I just, in case people are just, you know, tuning in, I think people are, you know your story well, but, you know, I just tell us a little bit about your politics on this.
Well, I mean, I am a conservative, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want that to be said, but I think it's just, this is about common decency, right? We don't want, as parents, our children subjected to something that they are not mentally or emotionally ready for. In other words, it used to be, when I was a kid, you couldn't walk into what would be called an adult bookstore, right? Unless you were over the age of 18. You couldn't just walk up to the, you know, bookstore and buy some Playboys or some Penthouse or whatever. We have the instinct as a society to protect our children's innocence from certain things until they're ready for it, until their, you know, minds are formed, and they're not there yet, right? In middle school, even in high school still, it's not the appropriate place. They're there to learn reading and writing and math and science and all of these good things. And when did it become a place for indoctrination to a particular political agenda? And it's, by the way, confusing. The author herself, Maya Kobabe, said, you know, she was very, very confused about her gender as a young person by reading a book by Alison Bechdel, who is, like, herself gender non-binary, or whatever the term is that she uses.
Yeah.
So we don't need to subject kids and cause more confusion by the addition of pornography into the school curriculum.
Stacey Langton, I'm sorry, but you still live in Fairfax County, so you're not allowed to call this pornography. Now, if you relocate to Leesburg, then it's pornography. That's where we've gotten to here. Listen, Stacey, thank you. We'll look forward to your appearance at the next Fairfax County School Board meeting, and I appreciate you continuing the fight.
Thanks for having me.
Of always. It's 6:43 on WMAL. You know, whether it's burning off the holiday weight or But one quick follow-up here on this book now banned in Loudoun County, this gender queer. I just want to be clear because there's so much misinformation. I actually read an article in Mediaite yesterday talking about Glenn Youngkin. And it just said, made an offhanded comment. You know, Glenn Youngkin had called for the banning of Toni Morrison's Pulitzer Prize-winning Beloved. No, Glenn Youngkin never. Actually, Glenn Youngkin's never called for any books to be banned. What Glenn Youngkin has called for is that parents have a say in what kind of books are in their government school libraries. The only connection to Toni Morrison's Beloved was there was a woman who appeared in an ad for Glenn Youngkin who years ago had made a stink with Fairfax County about Beloved. But that was nothing that Glenn Youngkin ever endorsed. But this is what happens in the media, you know. Yeah. Terry McAuliffe ran with that. Said they want to ban Beloved. No, they don't. Glenn Youngkin never. Anyway, let's just be clear here, because I'm very sensitive about the First Amendment. I'm very sensitive about free speech. We all should be. I'm not thrilled with the idea of banning books. Here's the thing. This book is not to be banned. This book should never have been in the government-run libraries in the first place. You want to buy this book for your child? Go ahead and buy this book.
Yeah.
Don't use my money to put it in the library where kids can get it without parents' consent. And let me be clear about this book, because I've looked at it. It is a graphic novel. It's like a comic book. There are drawings in it. The whole story is told through pictures. And there are pictures of young people sexually pleasing each other. And you can see sexual organs involved in the sexual pleasing of each other.
There's also sexual violence. There's quite a bit of very weird sexual violence. But I will say, IWF, the Independent Women's Forum, put together an ad showing these videos that we actually blurred out the sexual organs.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked local television stations to run our ad showing some of the pictures at the 11 o'clock hour. So we actually asked that the ads be run after, you know, kids are in bed, you know, you would think. And they said, no, we cannot essentially play this adult content.
Right.
Television after 11 o'clock at night, but it's okay in a school library. I mean,
about it being okay. It's celebrated. And that's the key. If that's where we are now, you know, it's like, oh, those Republicans want to ban books. Okay, fine. If this is the criteria of you saying we want to ban books, fine. We'll own it if that means Democrats have to own that they want to peddle pornography to children.
Yeah, we want to ban porn.
If that's fair, fine. Go,
if it has a binding and if you want to call it a book, fine. It's porn. It is porn.
Meanwhile, listen to this. This is cut two now. This is one of the owners of the Golden State Warriors NBA basketball team. They've won multiple championships. The franchise used to be terrible. It's now worth billions of dollars. And just listen to what one of the owners had to say in this podcast when challenged about the NBA and his team's position with regard to the communist government in China and the plight of the Uyghurs who were suffering from a genocide right now. Listen.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really
what?
Care. And I think
what
that's
do you mean,
nice that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard... I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Yeah, I don't care about it. No one cares about it. His name is Chamath Palihapitiya. He's a billionaire investor. He actually, ironically, runs an investment fund that is socially conscious and socially aware. People can invest in it knowing that their money is going to make the world a better place. But he doesn't care about the very real forced labor and genocide going on to an ethnic minority because of the color of their skin and the shape of their eyes in China right now.
His family came here. He came here as a 5-year-old. They were refugees. That's another part of this that makes it so disturbing, is considering his family's background and that they, you know, had to escape the country that they lived in, where he was born. And yet he has no sympathy. I think it's really important to watch the video to see his manner.
Oh, yeah.
And his the look on his face, this sort of deadness in his expression as he explains that he doesn't care about this. It's really disturbing stuff.
Right. And the hypocrisy here must be hammered home here, because the NBA is a league, and the Golden State Warriors specifically with their coach Steve Kerr is a team that has grandstanded on the back of Black Lives Matter, on claiming that America is a systemically racist society, that police officers are tantamount to being fascists and terrorists, and how they treat people of color in this country. They're very socially conscious, very publicly aware when they're pushing their own leftist political agenda, and Black Lives Matter is a socialist organization, pushing a socialist agenda to please the billionaire basketball players that wear their uniforms. But when they actually are faced with genocide in a totalitarian regime in China, they have nothing. In fact, they have this to say, which is nobody cares about that. A little bit more on this coming up. And also Gordon Chang is joining us to talk more about this, how this is very, this is one of the billionaires who make money in this country saying it out loud. But trust me, look in your closet right now and look at the labels on all of your clothes. I assure you, this is not a one-off. It's 6:53 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall.
Consumers of news and information.
105.9 FM. WMAL.
I love listening to your broadcast.
We're Washington.
For Virginia, she didn't run as a black woman. Vote for me, I'll be the first black woman. Right? That wasn't a thing.
Right.
Right. We don't do that. That said, we should draw attention to the fact that history was made yesterday as she, for the first time, a black woman gaveled to order the Virginia State Senate. It was a pretty big deal. It was pretty stirring to see her do it. What's shocking, it's not shocking, what's disappointing is that this didn't really get covered much anywhere at all, certainly in cable news and national. If she, I mean, I got to say it, if she were a Democrat, she'd be a superstar right now.
She'd be on Vogue.
Yes, she'd be on the cover of Vogue. She'd be everywhere.
Yep.
They'd be doing the profile in 60 Minutes. She'd be doing the profile in 2020. Whatever. Fine. You know what? It's okay because she doesn't care about that. She's not looking for that. We got to know Winsome Sears during this campaign. We are huge fans. And if the rest of the media wants to ignore it, great. That means more for us.
Yes.
We look forward to having Winsome Sears, the new lieutenant governor and president pro tem of the Senate. Or no, president of the Senate. President pro tem is the other. Oh, you know. You know the thing. Coming up.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.